Now, if you were to step into a certain bar in Brooklyn, you would find a different style of Latin music. It's a style that's heard almost nowhere else on this continent. The music style is called chicha, and the guy who runs the bar is also one of its leading practitioners around here. His name is Olivier Conan. He plays a small South American guitar called the cuatro, and he's about to help us discover this music as part of our series, Musicians in Their Own Words. Conan says he discovered the music while walking the street markets of Lima, Peru.
Anything you buy is in the market. Pots and pans, DVDs of Rambo. All the vendors had a boombox, and you could go through any CD, and they would play it for you right away. And one of those vendors started playing me Amazonian chicha. A lot of the sounds were familiar, but put in that order, it was a completely new sound to me. It's got that vaguely Middle Eastern scale and that surf influence and spy music, and it's somehow undeniably Amazonian. I think music has always been globalized. I mean, there's always been the sense that there's a pure music, the platonic image of the music that exists independently of any foreign influences. There's no such thing. One of the great things about chicha, it's not music that belongs to the people that play it. They kind of made it up. They play cumbia rhythms in a way that is a little stiffer than Colombian musicians would play it. You know, it's faster. It goes boom, 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 instead of the more laid-back Colombian cumbia feel. They borrow things, and they're very conscious about it. Los Destellos cover to release in 68, in a completely chicha style with a surf guitar. Barbès is the club, bar, community place in Brooklyn that we built. It was a laundromat before us, a Chinese laundry. There was a Chinese family living in the back room where the music takes place. I think we've really managed to have a community-centered scene. Chicha Libre started as a tribute band. I think of what we do as very similar to what British band did with R&B. Take many liberties with the music, so think of it as freeform chicha. Chicha Libre uses slightly different instrumentation than a classic chicha band would. We only have two percussionists. They play bongos, bells, then we have an electric guitar. Instead of an organ, we have a strange contraption called an electrovox, which looks like an accordion, but has all the parts of a vox organ inside. Sounds amazing. It's got a really great sound, a little bit lo-fi. And I play the cuatro, which is not a Peruvian instrument. It's a Venezuelan and Colombian instrument. I can't find a proper cuatro case here, so this one is actually put together with rubber bands. I play a lot of stuff that's often played on a guitar in Colombian cumbia, like... an idea of the texture. We've chichified a number of songs. Primavera en la Selva means spring in the forest. But it also used as its main theme Vivaldi's Four Seasons, the spring. And not because it's kitsch, it just works. Forest is ironic because there's no such thing as spring really in the jungle. But you're still likely to hear Vivaldi's Spring if you're on hold at your bank, even in the middle of the jungle.
That's Olivier Conan telling us his story in his own words. And you can hear the music of Chicha Libre by going to the music section at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
right now, we'd like to hit you to the Soul Train line. It gives everybody a chance to kind of style a while and something you might want to get into on your own at parties or dances.
Our last word in business today is Soul Train. The New York Times reports that the classic TV dance show has a new owner. A production company in L.A. has bought the franchise from its creator, Don Cornelius. He also produced and hosted the show for many years. Soul Train debuted in 1971 and during its heyday was the place to go to hear the best in black music and see the newest dances, fashions, and hairstyles. Over the years, guests included icons like James Brown and Aretha Franklin and newer styles like hip-hop. The new owners say they aim to bring what Spike Lee once called an urban music time capsule into the 21st century. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Kathleen Edwards is a 29-year-old singer-songwriter with a taste for rock and roll, folk, and especially country music. Being based in Toronto, she finds metaphors not in red dirt farms or the Blue Ridge Mountains, but hockey skates and border crossings. She's released her third CD. It's called Asking for Flowers, and critic Will Hermes says he has been playing it obsessively.
All the
Kathleen Edwards grew up as the daughter of a Canadian diplomat, spending time in Korea and Switzerland and studying classical violin with a Hungarian instructor. All of which goes to show that cowpie-kicking country rock musicians can really come from anywhere.
They say the star toe is the hardest part, but like you know, baby, I'm all warmed up. Sometimes I want to shout your name out loud and let them in on what you're all.
Edwards has made two very good records, but on Asking for Flowers, she steps up her game even further. Every song seems finely honed, her vocal phrasing, her harmonies, her arrangements, and especially her lyrics, which suggest stories much bigger than can be contained in a 3 or 4 minute song, and which often resonate long after the song is done. Take, for instance, the story sketched in Oil Man's War, about two young people breaking north to escape both their families and an unspecified military call-up, with verses that seem to conflate Vietnam in the 60s and Iraq today.
And I'm not gonna die, so keep your head on my thigh tonight. 'Cause when we get up north with bias a store, I won't fight it in a man's war.
But for me, the highlight of the record is Scared at Night, a modest little song that in three verses depicts three generations. The singer is a child, her father is a young man, and her grandmother on her deathbed. Edwards says she cried and cried when she wrote it, and I believe her.
As a child, I would wake at night. I was scared, but I kept real quiet. Shadows on the walls moving in on me. And underneath my sheets I could barely breathe. And your room was only just across the hall. All it would have taken was a single call. Maybe sometimes we gotta trust ourselves not to scream out loud and run like hell. Believe me, all the days you're unsure. I don't want to anymore. And in the dark, picture me in your mind, and I'll lay with you. You don't have to be scared enough.
Edwards is at her best when she zeroes in on an emotional knot and works it like a masseuse, trying to get beyond the initial pain to find some kind of relief. And she does that again and again on her new collection. It's a set of songs I can't get out of my head or my CD player.
Kathleen Edwards' latest album is called Asking for Flowers. Our reviewer is Will Hermes. To hear a full concert by Kathleen Edwards, you can visit the music section of our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
BPP producer Dan Pashman, producer extraordinaire, was actually producer in absentia as he was out on vacation for a week. But does Mr. Pashman ever truly stop working? Gets into the office yesterday, is full of 35-story pitches. Everyone he met along the road became, hey, we should cover this guy. We should cover that guy. And he also comes armed with a best song in the world today. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Well, tell me about your BSWT.
Best song in the world today, you mean?
Sure. Okay.
Well, you know, I went out last week. And by the way, I want to thank you for refusing to host the show while I was gone in protest of my absence. That was really a nice show of solidarity.
I chained myself to a different studio down the block.
So I went out west with my wife, Janie. We went to visit Zion National Park and Bryce Canyon. You know, they're in southern Utah and the Grand Canyon. And we stopped at the Grand Canyon, last of the three. And so we're staying at a lodge right on the north rim of the Grand Canyon. And, I mean, one of the most beautiful places you can imagine. We woke up every morning on the edge of the Grand Canyon, this mind-boggling work of nature, beautiful and massive, created over hundreds of millions of years with absolutely no human involvement, I mean, whatsoever, just nature at work.
Was the music this cliched?
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just this cliched and beautiful. And our last night there, we went to a cookout where this husband and wife team, the Cochrans, they performed. And, you know, it's a pretty long tradition. Musicians come in to entertain tourists at the Grand Canyon, playing traditional American songs. And so they finished their set with a classic spiritual, I'll Fly Away. And I mean, that's not actually the Cochran's version. That's from the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack, but it's the same song. So the Grand Canyon was really nice. And the next day we left, our flight home was out of Las Vegas. And for various logistical reasons, we planned to spend about 24 hours in Vegas. We just had to before leaving. So we went from a place created entirely by nature over several hundred million years to a place created entirely by humans in a geological instant. Now, my wife and I, we're not big Vegas people. We don't really like gambling. We don't love clubbing. But I got us a room at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which I heard has a man-made beach. I heard that's one of the really nice ones. And we love the beach. So I figured after hiking almost 40 miles around various canyons, who's going to argue with drinking a beer on the beach, right?
I take it.
Yeah, just one problem. This was a Vegas beach, I'm sorry to say. And that means, so techno music is blasting, the sand is strewn with trash, lounge chairs crammed one on top of the other, beers cost $7. A fight broke out at the pool, Mike, right next to us, between two hooligans, one of whom was wearing a Budweiser t-shirt, which proclaimed him the King of Rears.
So it was a pun that kept on giving.
It really was.
Pretty funny,
the
right?
gentleman was really proud of that t-shirt, too. That night, so we decided to go to an Italian restaurant in the hotel for dinner. It took us a half an hour to find it because they don't provide maps or directions at these places. They just hope you'll spend so much time wandering aimlessly that you eventually lose all hope of eating and sit down at a slot machine to gamble your life savings away. When we finally got to dinner, I ordered pasta. It came so fast, it must have been microwaved. I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure water doesn't boil that quickly.
You must have been a pleasure to be with at this time. I would have been your wife.
It was quite a lot of fun. So after dinner, we skipped the gambling. We headed to the roller coaster at the New York Hotel, three hotels down the strip. Simple.
And with CNC Music Factory still playing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
At least in my head it was. Yeah. I couldn't make it stop.
Yeah. Now, one thing, if you go to the New York Hotel, I have to point out that the Statue of Liberty isn't right next to the Chrysler Building as depicted in the New York
Hotel. Yeah, it's amazing. They took out all the junk in between the landmarks.
Like the people in streets.
Right, like the people.
Yeah.
But so walking three hotels away to New York, New York for this roller coaster, not as easy as you think because there's no sidewalk on this trip. That would allow you to walk in a straight line, which is the last thing that they want. You have to go through the casinos. Now, a day earlier, we're hiking in the Grand Canyon. Now we're traversing the catacombs of King Tut's Luxor, the turrets of King Arthur's Excalibur, and a footbridge littered with MTV Spring Break castoffs. We finally made it to New York, New York, and I will say this, the roller coaster was pretty great. We eventually get back to our hotel.
Wait, let me stop you. One of the great things in New York, New York, they have these sewers on the floor, and they have fake steam coming out.
It's pretty amazing.
Also, Village Voice canisters that are spray painted, unlike the real Village Voice ones here, which are kept clean. Anyway, go ahead.
They basically fake reproduce the vandalism.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
that's
they
nice.
Fake reproduce it a little worse than it is in real life.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we get back to the hotel. We dropped a few bucks into the slot machine. Janie actually won $50.
Awesome.
It was awesome, and we decided to buck the most common Vegas trend of all by walking away in the black. So in the end, we found our own little slice of fun, but we were ready to head home, no question. The next day, we're on the plane waiting to leave when the pilot announces that our plane has too much weight on it to take off in the intense Vegas heat.
Maybe Janie shouldn't have taken her winnings in gold doubloons.
Yeah, seriously. I didn't understand the explanation. It had something to do with air pressure in mountains. But he said some passengers would have to get off the plane.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure how Delta failed to account for heat in Las Vegas in June or how they failed to account for fat people in Las Vegas at any time of year, but they did.
And also, they didn't know what elevation Las Vegas was
at. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So fortunately, Janie and I were not among the unlucky half dozen who got the boot. And as the plane finally lifted off from our own personal inferno, I plugged in my iPod and tried to transport myself back to those halcyon days at the rim of the Grand Canyon. Now, I'll Fly Away was written by Albert Brumley in 1929. Since then, it's been covered by just about everyone. Steve Goodman says this is the song that proves you don't have to know very much about Jesus to like spirituals. I'll go with the Alison Krauss and Gillian Welsh version off the O Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. This is I'll Fly Away, the best song in the world today.
Some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by.
How You Do It, Dan Pashman bringing us Alison Krauss and Gillian Welch from the O Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.